Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? You're happy to be in the house of the Lord? Are you excited? How has been your week? Your week has been great, right? All right. My week has been good as well. And I've continued to hunger and thirst for the Lord. This last Friday, we came up here in the church. And I continue to urge you, if you have time, to come and pray on Friday. These meetings are very, very powerful. When we come here, we pray. We try to pray for almost all of you, as many as we can remember, so that the Lord can direct your path. Amen? So it is a great joy to see all of you, and I know that the Lord has protected each one of you. This morning, we received some news, and I know you already saw it on your text about the passing of Julia's mom. She has been sick for quite some time, and we all plan to be there to go and mourn with them after the service. And I believe this week, all the meetings that we have scheduled, you know, we were scheduling to have a cell group meeting on Tuesday. We were planning actually to launch it, but we are going to postpone that to the next week, so that we can go and be with them. Amen. And also Bible study, I believe, son, we shall also go there so that we can be with them. And I believe it's this coming Saturday. No, it's the other one. And also for the Friday Kesha, we are not going to have any Kesha. This coming Friday, we shall also go there and be with them. Praise the Lord. I know the Lord is going to comfort them, and His peace will be upon their lives. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to bring the word of the Lord from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 is a text that most of you know. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. I feel the Lord laid this in my spirit, and throughout the week I was just wondering what the Lord wanted us to hear. But I felt so strongly the Spirit of the Lord just impressing on me. I know there was a time that we had a series on Romans chapter 1 about the law of the Spirit and the that comes to completely render powerless the law of Moses, which was the law of sin and death. But I felt that we also needed to remind ourselves about what the Lord really intends for us to know, what condemnation really means to our hearts as believers in the Lord. Praise God. And I will read the first few verses. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. This is what the Bible says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Praise the Lord. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, they live according to the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Can somebody repeat that after me? I am not in the flesh. Come on, say it like you mean it. I am not in the flesh. but in the Spirit. Okay. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, which of course the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know through our time, you know, having gone through church, a lot of people struggle with past experiences that, you know, you've experienced through your life. It could be things that you went through your life even before you knew the Lord. And I found a lot of people being drawn back or just being held back from progress because of certain things that you involved yourself in life. Amen. But there's a transformation that has come from the day that we received Christ, which to most of us is a mystery. Amen. It is not something that you can go into a laboratory and really try to define the formula of how God came, you know, and set you free. Amen. It is not something that you can we can come here and add one and one together so that we can tell you it is four. The things of the Spirit are spiritually designed. Amen. And they can only be spiritually discerned. Somebody say amen. You know, the Bible says that we cannot please God unless we have faith. God responds to faith. As a matter of fact, most of the things that we read from the Bible, unless the Spirit of God helps us to understand them by faith, it will be impossible for us to understand who God is and what He is in our lives. Praise the Lord. And just as we began by reading the Bible, you know, when you receive Jesus Christ, when you receive Him and you accept Him as Lord and Savior, the life-giving Spirit of Christ indwells you immediately. Amen? His Spirit indwells you. In fact, the Bible says that there's no one who can proclaim or can proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord unless the Spirit of God inside of them tells them that Jesus is Lord. Amen? So if you're born again today, if you proclaim, if you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, the fact of the matter is you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. And that is a good point to say, praise the Lord. Amen? If you are born again, you need to know that the Spirit of Christ resides in you. In fact, the Bible calls him, Paul writes to the Romans, and he tells them, as we just read, that he is the life-giving Spirit. The life-giving Spirit. He is the one who gives life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. And the Spirit of, if anybody that doesn't have Christ in them, then the Spirit of Christ doesn't dwell in them. So the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, only dwells in a human being who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you have been regenerated, if you have come from your old ways and you have accepted Him, you are born again, then you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. Amen? Now, and to those who have accepted Jesus, the Bible tells us, therefore now, there is no condemnation. Amen? It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter who you did it with. It doesn't even matter where your background is. The fact of the matter is, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, therefore now, there is no condemnation. Nobody can condemn you. Amen? Not even the devil has the right to condemn you. Now, in the Old Testament, there used to be the law, what is referred here as the law of sin and death. There are a set of so many rules that had to be followed. And every single moment or every single time, there had to be a ceremonial cleansing so that these people would be removed from judgment from the Lord. As a matter of fact, you know very well that there used to be a high priest who used to go through the Holy of Holies, and he carried with himself the blood of cleansing, and he would sprinkle blood so that this blood would kind of cover the sins of the people. And no matter how they would conduct this ceremony, year after year, they would go inside the Holy of Holies so that he could represent, the high priest could represent the sins of the people, and he would go back there. And by the way, he had even to make sure that he himself was clean enough. Otherwise, he would have died in the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. But today we are living under the dispensation of grace. Praise the Lord. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross and when he was giving up his ghost, the curtain in the temple split into two. Amen? It is split into two, and it had never split. No one would have access to the Holy of Holies except the high priest. But when he gave us his ghost and he said, "It is finished," the curtain of the temple split into two, meaning that anybody who would believe in him and accept him as Lord and Savior would access that place, which only one person in the olden times would access. Anybody who longs and who desires to meet with their God can go through the curtain, and God can recognize them as son and daughter of the kingdom. Amen? Today you don't need a pastor. Today you don't need an evangelist to pray over your life. The same access that I have into the Holy of Holies, brothers and sisters, you have it. Amen? If you have a need that you need to present before the King of Kings, you don't even need to call so and so to pray over you. All you need to do is kneel wherever you are and tell God, "I'm your child. I come right now and I present this need before you," and God will accept you the way you are. Why? Because the life-giving Spirit of Christ indwells you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you stand to worship him, you are worshiping him in a different way. In the old times, they would worship God, and God would come and show up himself in different ways. As a matter of fact, there was a time, I remember right now, when Moses wanted the people to see who God was. And he tells them, Pastor Francis, that prepare yourself in 3 days, for you are going to see the king. And he told them, abstain from sexual relationships, abstain from immorality, for in 3 days, cleanse your garments. In fact, it was so serious, he told them, even wash your garments, because I do not want any one of you to present yourself in an unworthy manner before the Lord. And so after the third day, they are presenting themselves before the mountain, and Moses advanced a little bit. And how God showed up on that mountain left the children of Israel terrified. You know, the mountains begin to thunder. There was shaking and earthquakes, and there were lightnings, even though there was no rain. Until when God, this is how God revealed himself so that the children of Israel would fear him. They told Moses, "Moses, if that is the God that you've been speaking to, we do not want even to talk to him. We didn't want even want to go near him. Let him speak to you so that in return you can speak to us." Amen? Can you imagine if we are living in those days where God has to show up in shaking the 635 so that when you're going, you can see cars hanging by the bridge, eh? And you can see, like when there was that prophet and he saw a writing of the wall written, Tekel, Tekel. What was it? You know, your kingdom is done. You know, there was one prophet, who was so despised the Lord, and one day God shows up, and out of the blues, it is written on the wall, "Tekel, Tekel, your kingdom is done." Can you imagine driving on I-75 and you see, "Oh, Tekel, Tekel, prepare yourself, or I'm going to take you right now." You'd be shaken. But we are living under the dispensation of grace. Praise the Lord. That anybody can access the Holy of Holies, because the life-giving Spirit of the Lord dwells in us. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In the Old Testament, the set of rules that were given, for people to follow. People actually, if anybody would be caught up in adultery, if anybody would be caught up in doing a wrong thing, there was an eye for an eye. Yeah? They would say, "Okay, you have been caught doing this. Now the punishment is we pick up stones and we have to throw those stones and kill you." I mean, there was no mercy in those days. Praise the Lord. And all those set of rules proved to the people how powerful the flesh was. Let me tell you, even today, flesh, why not for the blood of Jesus? The power of the flesh. How many times have you ever wanted to do something and there's a, you know, you feel like your spirit wants to do it, but then your flesh doesn't want to do it? How many of you have ever wanted to go to pray, but you feel like you're so tired, you're so, you cannot do this, but then inside of you, the spirit that is inside of you is groaning, I need to pray, I need to read the word, I need to go to the fellowship, I need to do this, I need to do the other for the Lord, but the flesh overcomes those desires within you. Flesh is so powerful. And so the set of rules, the law of sin and death could not overcome the power of the flesh. It was only the life-giving spirit of Christ that had to indwell us to overcome the power of the flesh. Praise be to God. And today we stand here as sons and daughters of the kingdom. And today we stand here as people who have been given power and authority. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter number 1 that as many as have received him, to them have I given them power to become children of God. Amen. You have power to become a child of God. Praise be to God. You have been given power and authority to step on snakes and scorpions, and the Bible says nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You can speak to the situations in your life. You can speak to situations in the lives of your children. You can speak to the situation over your posterity. You can speak to situations affecting your career. You can speak to situations that affect your atmosphere, and things can turn around. Why? Because the life-giving spirit of Christ indwells you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited this morning to know that God has brought a change in our lives. Praise be to God. Hey, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Sin has been condemned in the flesh. Praise be to God. In other words, there had to be a union of the divine and a union of a human being. And when this union came together, praise be to God, when this union came together, it caused there to be a condemnation of sin in us. And it caused there to be a reservoir of life and peace in our lives. Praise be to God. And the Bible says that he who has the Spirit of Christ in us, his mind is elevated or is tuned towards the things of the Spirit. And he says that you do not walk in the flesh. Next time somebody tells you you're in the flesh, tell them, hey, you know what? I am in the Spirit. And I'm walking in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ indwells you. Amen? You see, when you're born again, the Spirit of Christ doesn't do an abracadabra thing of like, okay, now I'm in, now I'm out. Now I'm in, now I'm out. No, the Spirit of Christ consistently dwells in you, even when you don't feel like it. The Spirit of God guides you. The Spirit of God protects you. The Spirit of God realigns your life. Praise the Lord. He dwells inside of you. Praise be to God. Woo, I love this. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what I love most. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. People who are ungenerated, people who have, and that's why we need to spread the gospel, so that anybody who has not received Christ in their lives, this is what the Bible says about them. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, which is you, the things of the Spirit. You may not know it. The devil might try to come and hijack you so that, you know, you're thinking in a fleshly way. But the fact of the matter, it has been put, a seal has been put. It has been declared that you have this life-giving Spirit of the living God. And so your mind ought to be living according to the things of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those, let me tell you, no matter how you'd expect the world to honor God, they cannot. Amen? Our leaders in America today who do not know God, they cannot honor God, no matter how they can try. Why? The spirit of Christ, the spirit of the life-giving spirit of Christ doesn't dwell upon in their hearts. Amen? And it is incumbent upon us to pray that they may know the Lord. There's no way the spirit of Christ can dwell in a human being unless they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Praise the Lord. We need to pray for this country, especially during these elections. You've seen how some leaders have given some inflammatory statements. You even think that, surely, I never thought in America people would just give statements just like they don't care, that like other people don't even exist. But you know what? These people, as they speak, so even though they claim to be Christians, when you're a Christian, you'll be known by your fruit. You know, you don't even have to blow in a trumpet, "Oh, I'm a Christian, oh, I'm a Christian." I will know it over time. When you're a Christian, I will know your deeds by the way you act, by the way you talk, by the way you move, by the way you dress. You'll be known. People will know that you're a Christian. And we need to pray. This is a time to pray for America, because America has influence over the nations of the earth. Amen? So let us not be people who are going to be talking about. It's very easy to be found, to be caught up into a spree of talking about, "Oh, this candidate talked about the other, this other person is talking about this," you know, so that we are judgmental about people. But God has given us a tool that is so powerful that we can go on our knees and intercede for America, and things are going to change. Amen? You can go to the Holy of Holies and cry out to God on behalf of this nation, and things can turn around. Hallelujah. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Now, there's a story that is told in the book of John, chapter number 8. And this is a story about the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Have you ever thought about that story? And I know many preachers have talked about this story. The Pharisees and the scribes wanted to test Jesus. He is teaching in the temple. And suddenly, I don't even know where they got this girl. I don't even know how they knew that she was, I mean, they say that she was caught in the, you know, let me tell you, human beings are funny sometimes. There are people who are in the business of looking for people who are causing faults here and there. It was not different in the days of Jesus. Now, these are Pharisees. They were supposed maybe to be in the temple interceding to praying in the church and conducting services. But it looks as some of them were knocking on doors. "Okay, where is Mama so-and-so? It looks like he is with Baba so-and-so." And so they caught this woman in the act of adultery. And they brought her before Jesus. Now, in the day, and this is the law of sin and death, what the law had stipulated, if anybody would be caught up doing adultery, the man and the woman, who are caught doing the thing, you know, they will be brought up and they will be stoned to death. Now, in this instance, I don't know whether the man ran away or what happened, but we are not told about the man. Either the man ran or whatever happened, or maybe there was a kipendeleo or something. But we find that only the woman is brought before Jesus, you know? And I say, "Wacha tuone sasa." Don't we feel like that sometimes? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us who the woman was. In fact, it doesn't say the name, but it says the woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And sometimes we wonder, who is this woman? Who is this woman who is just caught, who is so unfortunate, and she is caught up and brought up to the Master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they are waiting to see, "Okay, let us see what Jesus now is going to do." And I can see the scribes, you know, just going, "Hi, man." They're saying, "What a tuone sasa mzee. Let's see what's going to happen." And Jesus looks at them, and he is writing on the ground, and he's wondering, "Okay, where is the man? The man is not there, and no one is saying where the man is." And Jesus looks at them and he wonders. And at this point, I would like to ask us, who is this woman? Don't you think this woman is a representation of us? This woman can be you. This woman can be me. Amen? And many times we find ourselves, we are just forgiven sinners. Can somebody say amen? You're just a forgiven sinner. As a matter of fact, this week there are some of you who lied outright. You know, why were you late? There was traffic on the I-75, and you know that's a lie. There are some of you who were late and you asked somebody to clock them in. You have given somebody a card who you know that comes in early, and you have given them a card. Unaambia, Satatu ikifika, please wipe me in. Stealing. You are a thief. Wewe ni jambazi. Are you listening to me? When we look at this woman, we need to see ourselves in that woman. There are many of us who have done things. It's only that you have never been caught. In fact, if God would open up would give us an ability so that we can see through your concerns even right now. There are some people who are right now. Anyway, let me not go there. Because we're in the house of God. In the house of God. But this week, there's something that you did. You may have used your mouth to speak something evil to somebody. And you even never took a time to ask the Lord to forgive you. We are just forgiven sinners. Are you listening to me? It is just like the Pharisees looked at this woman and they said, okay, now we caught her into the act of adultery. And you know, if you read the book of Matthew chapter number 23, you will see a list of so many things that Jesus spoke against the Pharisees. These were people who he said that they were washing the outside of the cup. No, they were washing the, it's like a cup that was being washed on the outside, but inside is filthy. They wanted to take the first positions, you know, and wearing long robes and sitting in the front before the people and showing everybody that they are giving their tithes and they are giving their offerings. But the things they did in the sacred places were nasty things. I'm here to tell us that we are like that woman. And many times, how many times have you passed judgment? You heard somebody did something wrong and you are very quick to even WhatsApp or call somebody and tell them, did you hear what somebody said? We are like that woman. It is only that we've never been caught. It is by grace that we have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. We have not earned any right to become sons of God. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ that oozed on that old rugged cross when he was crucified. When he said it is finished, and there was a divine exchange, there was a trading of some sort. No wonder we sing this song. I've traded my sorrows and I've traded my sickness and I've traded my sins for the righteousness of God. Amen. It is by his mercy. The Bible tells us that you have been made the righteousness of God. It is not out of anything that you ever did. Oh, hallelujah. But I am the righteousness of God. See, the Bible says that I'm hidden in Christ. Let me tell you, if I'm hidden in Christ, Christ is holy. Therefore, if I'm hidden in him, therefore, when people look at me, they don't even see me, but they see Christ and they consider me as holy. You are holy, not because of anything that you did, but just because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus looks at these scribes and the Pharisees, and he looks at them and he wonders, oh, surely. And you know, Jesus has the ability to see what they had done. Maybe some of them had even done adultery last night. No. Where Johanna? Where were Jacobo? Even you, Baba so-and-so? Where were you last night? But he didn't tell them. But yet they were presenting one who was caught in adultery. And he said, whoever had never sinned, let be the first one to cast the first stone. And I hear the same, the reverberation of his words speaking to us today. Whoever has never sinned, let them be the first one to cast the first stone. The Bible says that Beginning with the older people. Beginning with the older people. Jamaa anasimama tu pale anafikiria kwamba last night I was in so and so house. It's only that I was never caught. Anaenda tu pole pole. Another older guy remembered, you know, I beat my wife until she was bleeding from everywhere. He remembers that and she is seeing, she's accusing this lady, and then she goes. Jamaa anaanza kuishia moja kwa moja. Another one thinks about what he did and he goes. See, when we expose ourselves before the master, this is the beauty about it. It takes a holy being. It takes a holy God that when we present ourselves before him, he exposes us. Amen? That is the beauty about going to God, because God knows everything that we ever did. And finally, everybody had left. Can you imagine? Think about this. I mean, look at that panoramic picture. That there were about several, maybe say 20 or 30 people. But all of them left. That means not even one was holy. All of them left. And I can see this lady just shaking, and she was really, now what is going to happen now? Everybody has left now. Is this one the Savior going to kill me? And Jesus looks at this little girl, and he tells her, where are your accusers? Where are they? They're all gone. And look at the grace of the Lord. He tells the lady, I also do not condemn you. I do not condemn you. But go and sin no more. Amen. Go and sin no more. Jesus comes and enhances the law and introduces righteousness in another dimension. He tells them it is no longer that when you sin you have to be stoned, but I am coming to introduce life. I am coming with my life-giving spirit, so that when I infuse that spirit in you, there will no longer be any condemnation. Amen? And who are we to pass judgment on another sinner? Let us be careful, my brothers and sisters, when we open up our mouth against anybody. When we point a finger at somebody, one finger is pointing back at us. Can I see an amen? Let us be gracious even as we deal with people who have messed around. People who have erred around. Let us also, ulimuona, ulimuona. You know, there are people actually who can be agents of BBC. It's like you hear anything you hear, they're involved in trying to bring negativity and trying to bring people down. God has not called us to bring people down. It is by mercy. The people who have held need the same mercy as we have received. Amen? And it is by the grace of God that we can even stand even today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is by the grace of God. No one can say that I'm strong enough. Because anybody who says that they are strong enough, they can even fall. They say in our language, onajabane kagatia. They say, by the way, I can interpret for Lorraine. And they say even a strong man can be angushwad. How do you say it? Can fall because of something very little. So don't think, let us not think that we are so strong and that we are so powerful and that we are the most holy and that we are. No, it is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you listening to me? But now, I want to give you a story before I give you another one here about what happened to my dad just the other day. Let me tell you. We still have Pharisees and scribes that still exist today, even in churches. People who can give rules and they determine this is exactly how this church is going to run. And many people pursue righteousness in different ways. I was watching a film in India whereby people were worshipping another god. And this guy was just trying to call upon their God and sitting on nails and speaking some words that I could not understand. There was a la, 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 and they are sitting on nails trying to reach out to their God. But these people did not know God in this movie. They were praying to another God. But even in today's church, some churches, I'm not talking about Empowerment Christian Center. There are people who have taken upon themselves to determine this is how this church is going to be run, and they have kicked Jesus out of the picture. And my dad has been a preacher for some time. He's an old man right now. And he has been going from one church to another. He has actually been in the full gospel churches as long as I can remember. In fact, when my dad gave his life to Jesus, I think, I can't remember, I think maybe early in the mid-80s, he surrendered his life to the Lord, and he started serving in the full gospel church. So the other day, my dad has been weakly and sickly, and so he went to the bishop of the church. And he told the bishop, "Oh, you know what, now I feel like I cannot continue to serve because I've become sickly, and I don't want to, if there's a preacher that you can assign so that he can take over the you see, in the full gospel churches, they have churches that they call satellites, so that you can go and serve here and you can be told to go from one place to another." And so when we went, you would think that the bishop would sympathize with him and actually maybe appreciate him for what he had done. And I know my dad. You know, my dad is this guy who is very, very, very zealous about the things of God. And so when he told the bishop, he told him, "Who are you to say that you are resigning? I've never heard somebody saying that you are resigning because of sickness." And I couldn't believe that when my dad told me. And then the bishop, I think maybe my dad met him in a wrong mood or something. He told him, "When you come to any church, in the full gospel church, because of you saying that you are resigning, you are like a backslider. You need to say way at the back." And my dad is old, and he has never was given a salary. He always, you know, even tries to pay fare to go and preach him whenever he is sent by the bishop. And he told him, "Every time you go to any church, you need to stay at the back. You're like a backslider saying that you are resigning." So I said, "Wow." So one of these fine days, my dad just, you know, I think he forgot about it, and he went to his local church, you know, where we normally go back in a village. And so I think he had forgotten that he had been told that he needed to sit at the back. And so my dad, I think, you know, the way he comes to the Bible, he just sits with other men in the middle of the aisle. And after the service, the pastor came and called him. He told him, "Don't you remember the bishop told you that every time you come to the church, you need to sit at the back?" I said, "What?" My dad called me seeking advice. What do I need to do? I told him, "Dad, I think you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. If God is calling you to go to another church, you know, you better, because I think that church now is being read by the doctrines of men, and sooner or later they are even going to tell you not to be coming to that church at all." You see how things have gotten bad? People have taken the house of God, where people ought to come and be excited about the house of the Lord. You need to have freedom in the house. This is the house of your Father. You know, you are a son, the same way I'm a son. I'm not supposed to come and take control over this house. This is not my house. It's our Father's house. Amen? Can you imagine how people have lowered their dignity? That you, somebody who has served in the ministry for all those years and is an elderly man, they tell him that you need to be sitting on the very back. And actually, to be honest with you, that church where the pastor told him to be sitting on the back, we built that church ourselves. Built it. That pastor has just been sent. So I told my dad, "You look for a place where you can go and worship. I believe this is the time for you to go." Amen? But what am I saying? We are saying that we are sons and daughters of the kingdom. We have access to the Holy of Holies. Are you listening to me? Now, I want to bring something else in connection to this message, and this is where I'm going to conclude, about scars. Somebody say scars. 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 I don't think there's anyone here, unless maybe the children who have been born in America, who does not have a scar. Yeah? Every one of you have a scar. There are some scars that are in a place where you can show people, and there are some scars that are in a place you cannot show anybody. Right? True? Now, when you look at that scar, you remember an experience that you went through. Amen? Like, for example, I have a scar here. When I look at it, my son the other day, he, you know, we were just, you know, sitting on the couch, and my one of my younger sons came and asked me, "Daddy, what happened here?" And I couldn't forget, and it just came fresh what happened. Somebody was beating my brother, and I went with Ibrahim, you know, to help him out, to support. Somebody was almost beating my brother almost to death. So, and this guy had a knife, and he was wielding. It was actually my neighbor. He was going, yeah. Before I knew it, cha, you know. And so when I look at that, I saw redemption of my brother, even though it was very, very painful. There's a scar that I have here. I was taking our cows to the Munanda. And one day a wire just ran across my skin and tore it up. I have a scar. I have three scars that I remember very vividly. There's a scar here. One time I was asking my mother. My mother told me to do something. And she was diggering viazi. She was, you know, peeling the potatoes. And I told her, "What did you say?" And I had the knife here. In those days, you don't answer your mother. And I've learned that when I see that scar, I shouldn't have answered my mother. In other words, when you have scars, it reminds you of something. Amen? Most of the times when you see that scar, they are bad experiences. It reminds you of pain that you had. Now, there are sometimes when we have physical scars, and sometimes we have scars that really are internal. Amen? Now, this is what I found out about scars. Somebody said something about a scar. Chris Creef said something about a scar. This is what he said. A scar is never ugly. Okay? A scar is never ugly. That is what the scar makes us want to think. But you and I, we must make an agreement to defy them. We must see all scars as beauty. Amen? A scar does not form on the dying. A scar means I survived. I love that. The fact that somebody threw his knife and it cut part of my skin, I'm still here. Amen? I survived. Somebody else says about a scar. A scar is not injuries. A scar is healing. After injury, a scar is what makes you whole. Amen. I love that. Scars show us where we have been. They do not dictate where we are going. I love that. Now, why am I bringing things about the scars? Because the devil is in the business of reminding us of things that we did before we received Jesus. Amen. Things that we did that you wouldn't even want to share with anybody. Things that are so shameful that you cannot even want to remind anybody. And when you think about them, it might be abusive life that you went through. It might be maybe you are sexually molested, or it could have been maybe it brought some kind of a form of a stigma in your life. And when you remember it, the devil would like to remind you of what you did, so that when you remember that, it kind of impedes your progress. Amen? But now, you have received Jesus. And the Bible says there is now no condemnation in your life. So when the devil begins to remind you about the things and the mistakes that you did, remind him about his future. You need to tell the devil and address him and tell the devil that I am no longer condemned. I am a born again. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ indwells me. Amen? A lot of people, and when I was praying, the Spirit of the Lord was revealing to me about this. A lot of people have been brought down by things and past experiences that they went through. Amen? So that when you remember what you did, when you remember the stigma that was brought about in your life, it hinders your progress from serving God. But God has forgiven it. And he says he has forgiven all your sins and thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness. When God looks at you, he does not see the scar. He is a child of God. He sees potential. Amen? Hallelujah. When God looks at you, when the life-giving Spirit of Christ indwells you, the Bible says that we now do things that we exude life and we exude peace. You become a reservoir of life and peace. Oh, I wish somebody can hear this. You become a reservoir of life and peace in spite of the things that you went through. In spite of the stigma that the devil tries to remind you every single day, there is life. You're a reservoir of life. My God, anybody who interacts with you, anybody that you relate with, ought to see and ought to experience that peace and that life that God has deposited in you. And when the devil tries to bring you, remind you of the things that you did in the past, tell him, yes, I can see this car, but I have been forgiven. You're looking at a forgiven sinner. I have been given power and authority to step on any scorpion, to step on any snake, and nothing shall by any means hurt me because I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter what I've gone through. It doesn't matter who molested me. It doesn't matter who I did it with. But as long as I know I am a forgiven sinner, and I can do whatever Christ says that I can do because he is in me. Amen? God has turned your mess into a message. I heard this from another preacher and I liked it. That God has converted your mess into a message. You may have had a mess, but God took care of that mess and he's slowly converting it into a message. So that when you stand here, there are people here who God is calling, that when you hold on this microphone, you will preach like you've never preached before in spite of the past. Do not look down on yourself. When the devil tells you about the things that you did, remind him of his future. In the name of Jesus. Look at this. Jesus is walking down Jericho and he meets a man. The man, his name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, Sam. And this guy, according to what Jesus spoke, he was a con man. He was a con man, this guy. He was a tax collector, but he was stealing from people's IRS taxes, something like that in the day. And Jesus comes, and this guy, they had a desire to see Jesus. And the Bible says that he climbed up on the top of the tree because of his stature, so that he can have a clear, oh my God, so that he can have a clear picture of Jesus. Let me tell you, in spite of all the things that have shrouded you, the things in the past that have crowded your life, all you need to do is seclude from those things and tell those things, you know what, stay apart a little bit because I want to see Jesus. I want to see the Savior. I want to see this man who opens up blind eyes. I want to see this man who unstops ears. And just like in the scene of Jesus coming with the Pharisees, when he told them, let him who has not seen be the first one to pick up the first stone and cast it to this woman, this Zacchaeus was in a clear position to see Jesus. Amen? Let me tell you. When we make a point that we want to see Jesus, in spite of the things that we have done, it doesn't matter how our past looks like, who we have gone out with, it doesn't even matter what we did in the past, but when Jesus comes and looks at you, he exposes you. And I love Jesus because Jesus changes the dimension. He doesn't say, you see, in the day when he met Zacchaeus, he told him, he looked up and he told Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to be your guest. How do you like that, man? I mean, think about it. Atuwe ni mukora, mujangiri. Na huyu ni mwokozi. The Savior of the whole world looks down on you and he says, today I'm going to be your guest. And you know what the Pharisees started saying? Oh, he's going to be with the tax collector. They were so judgmental. They were so judgmental that he is going to be with the tax collector. He is now going to, how can he go with a sinner? And Jesus goes, and before even Zacchaeus does anything, he says, did he say like four? Four times, I will return four times of the things that I've stolen. Amen? And as he goes to Zacchaeus' house, do you know what he tells Zacchaeus? Today, salvation has come into your house. Today, salvation has come into your house. Oh my God. Jesus does not discriminate. Jesus does not, he regards less what you have gone through. Amen? When the devil brings about that scar that you had in your life, tell him, you know what? Jesus is in the process of creating a message out of my mess. He wants to turn a zero into a hero. Hallelujah. Do not look down upon yourself. There is now no condemnation in your life. And this is exactly what we need to do. Do it as our master did it. Jesus goes in John 4, he goes and finds out a Samaritan woman. Eh? You remember the story about the Samaritan woman? He goes and he's a rule breaker. He tells the Samaritan woman, can you give me a cup of water? And actually the Samaritan woman would have thought maybe this guy is tuning her, you know. And the Samaritan goes back and says, wow, I've never seen a Jew talking to a Samaritan. It is against the rule. But Jesus is a rule breaker. He tells him, if you only know who is talking to you, he can give you life. And he can give you water that you will, once you taste this water, you'll never thirst again. And Jesus, and the lady, he's saying, wow. He says, do someone must have to go call your husband. You know, he said, I don't have a husband. He said, you said it right. When you expose yourself to the master, he is able to show you the weaknesses. He tells him, you have had five. And this lady runs and tells everybody who he had met. And sooner or later, everybody comes and meets Jesus. Amen? Don't you think that you can be the extended hands of Jesus? If we can, seriously, let me tell you this, and I'm concluding now. If every believer, every Christian, Shiro, if every Christian, every believer would have this truth, you know, this truth, that now there's no condemnation in us and that we have been saved by the grace, you'd approach anyone that you meet on the streets, in your place of work, make yourself friendly to them so that you can introduce them to Jesus. Because the same mercy that you have been born, that has saved you, can be extended to somebody else. Let us not be judgmental. Let me tell you, sometimes I walked... Have you ever walked? Sometimes you see these guys, especially he has a rasta, you know, dreads, and he's a bodybuilder, and the way he's walking, he looks like he can smash you with one finger, and you wonder, even this one, can I share the gospel with them? And the way he's walking, even the body, because of the muscles, and even his face looks so, you know, his face looks like he's threatening, and you wonder, can I even share Jesus with this one? Let me tell you, those are the people that you begin to share Jesus and it begins to break them down and you wonder, wow, even me, I can share Jesus with this person? Because it is not by power. It is not by your strength. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. Are you listening to me? It is the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. You are a reason. Oh my God. You are a reservoir of life. Whoever you meet, you can infuse life to. Amen? Hallelujah. Let us stand on our feet. Amen, amen, amen. I love this. Amen. So whatever scar that the devil reminds you, tell him, I'm a child of God. I'm more than a conqueror. I have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. You cannot ensnare me, devil. I have access to the Holy of Holies. The life-giving Spirit of Christ is in me. And I am hidden in God. And I am holy. The devil doesn't want to hear you say you are holy. Amen. Can you say I'm holy? Say like you mean it. I'm holy. Say I am the righteousness of God. Say like you mean it. I'm the righteousness of God. No matter what people say. No matter my past. I am the righteousness of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you for these believers, Lord. These are your children that you have bought by your blood. Father, I pray that they will match up strongly and mightily as an army in the name of Jesus. I pray that none of them will be inhibited by the enemy. I pray that you shall lift them up into a high dimension so that they'll be able to see the goodness of God in their lives. And Father God, even as they march on, Lord, and as they go shoulder high and with their heads high, let them know that they are the sons and daughters of the kingdom. And the Spirit of Christ indwells them in the name of Jesus. Father, these are the ones that you have said, that you have given power and authority over every scorpion, over every snake, over every devil. And the Bible says that nothing shall by any means hurt any one of them. In the name of Jesus, I pray that wherever they go, Lord, they will be carrying this reservoir of life and peace to the world that is hurting. In the name of Jesus, let somebody who longs to hear about this message be given by one of this. Give them the boldness, Lord. Give them the strength. Give them this something in their knower to know that they are the ones that you are sending. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you because the devil fears them. The devil is scared about them. The devil knows that when they wake up and when they shrug And when they begin to do things, his kingdom is in danger. And therefore, I right now put the devils of hell subject under their feet in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree that no demon, no activity of demonic power shall come and creep into their lives in the name of Jesus. And when it does so, lift them a standard in their lives that they'll be able to subject him where he belongs in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Lord, I declare that this coming week shall be a great week in the name of Jesus. Father, we shall be the heads and not the tail in the name of Jesus. You are taking care of us. You are sending your angels to minister to us, even in our sleep and in our subconsciousness in the name of Jesus. The angels of God take care of us. The blood of Jesus surrounds us. The hedge of protection encompasses round about us every single moment of our lives. Father, we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Give him a hand of praise tonight in the name of Jesus.